Chapter 1. My earliest memories are completely silent. Not yet knowing what it was to hear and speak, I had no idea what I'd been missing, that other people experienced the world differently. As a very little girl, I felt completely at home in my world, defined by visual communication and other sensory clues I received through scent, touch, and taste. Silence wasn't a lack or an absence. It simply was, a familiar backdrop to my experience. Once, when I was about 3, I squatted in my grandmother's garden, tugging on a weed in the stillness of a late summer afternoon. Light sparkled through the undulating leaves as Omama, wearing a green sweat-stained kerchief tied over her bun, sprayed a glittering mist onto thirsty purple pansies. I ran my fingers through the damp earth, staring with astonished attention at a tiny worm that wiggled its way deeper and deeper into the soil. I didn't hear the warbles of the birds flitting in the bushes, the wind rippling through the trees, or the roar of the airplane soaring overhead. Omama waved to me to come to her, but I didn't hear her calls. All was still. I didn't yet have the words to express it, but that afternoon, as I communed with the musty earth, I was aware for the first time of being immersed in a world of pervasive silence. Later, after I experienced the wonder of sound, I began to better understand silence. Every night, after removing my hearing aids, I would re-enter the deep and spacious emptiness of a profound quietness. This stillness is a very intimate, palpable experience. Even now, I feel it as an inner resonance within my body. And when I resume silence, it's as though I am being enveloped in the warm embrace of a soft, comforting blanket. And each night, I feel the infinite expanse like a starlit night as I lie wrapped in the quiet until morning, when I reluctantly emerge to rejoin the world of noise. But although I've always treasured my nighttime peace, I gradually realized that to be part of the world that rumbled and hummed around me all day, I would have to learn to hear as best I could. My long journey from silence into sound, with its debilitating lows and intoxicating highs, began in 1950, 5 months before I was born, when my mother was prescribed a seemingly harmless medication to treat her severe nausea. When I was a baby, my parents had no idea I suffered from a severe level of hearing loss. I was their first child, and they didn't notice anything was wrong, despite that by age 4, apart from some babbling, I hadn't uttered a word. Most children began to utter their first words by 12 months, so my parents should have known something was amiss, but they were still adjusting to life in the United States, having emigrated from Nazi Germany. My mother, shortly after World War II ended, and my father, just before the war began. Both parents were also distracted by the birth of my brother, Elliot, who was born when I was 2. They were busy, but as I'd realized later, they were also in denial. Eleanor, my nursery school teacher, was the first to notice I couldn't hear. She told my parents that whenever she called and gestured for me to come to her, I would obey, if I could see her. But when she called to me from behind, I didn't respond. Eleanor also noticed that I always carefully watched the other children and copied what they did, except during group sing-along. During that circle time activity, I would rock on a wooden rocking horse, daydreaming while staring out the window at the garden, silently experiencing my own world and oblivious to the singing and activities of the other children. Eleanor suggested to my parents that I should have my hearing tested. My father was outraged and yelled at her, insisting that there was nothing wrong with his daughter. But my mother calmed him down and said it wouldn't hurt for me to be tested.